I said, baby, let's make it special, really make a memory. I didn't want to do the bounce house, that was way too much to spend. And Chuck E. Cheese was way too crowded, too cliche, and too high end. So he was right there on a Craigslist ad for all the world to buy. I was astonished by his beauty, and astounded by his price. So I took my truck and trailer and I headed off down south to a place where I was certain they had filmed Deliverance at. This has got to be a scam, I thought as I pulled into the drive. But when that old boy let him out the barn, I couldn't believe my eyes. Because $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. If you bring him to your party, kids are gonna have a ball. He might kick you in the trailer, he may bite you in the stall. But $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. My wife called me on the way home and said, tell me where you are. I said, just wait 30 minutes, baby, and look out in the backyard. Might have been a good idea to let her know my little plan, but I knew she'd disapprove, and I just couldn't take that chance. At first she started shaking, then turned whiter than a sheet. He pooped and he hawed in our driveway. I said, baby, are you mad at me? But in 15 minutes she was just a-loving on that ass. And that night she sent me out with warm blankets for his back. He began family over that next week. When party time finally arrived, everyone could see that $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. If you bring him to your party, kids are gonna have a ball. He might kick you in the trailer, he may bite you in the stall, but $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. Kids and seven soccer moms all got to ride old Carl. Oh yeah, that's what we named him, after my half-great uncle, Carl. It was a day so legendary in our safe suburban town. When the kids all left the party, I wondered, now what do I do now? So I put him back on Craigslist with $100 prize. 9 days later, it pulled a trailer, much to my surprise. A $100 donkey's still a donkey after all. If you bring him to your party, kids are gonna have a ball. He might kick you in the trailer, he may bite you in the stall, but $100 donkey's still a donkey.
You know now,
everybody's worried,
hey now,
about that atom bomb.
Well,
no one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
get your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon.
And then he'll
hit like an atom bomb. Will he come? Will he come?
In 1945, the atom bomb became alive. 1949, the USA got very wide. They found that a country from across the line had an atom bomb of the very same kind. The people got worried all over the land, just like the people did in Japan. God told Elijah to send down fire, to send down fire from the sky. He showed old Noah all the rainbow signs, and it wouldn't be water but fire next time. You know that
everybody's worried,
hey now,
about that atom bomb.
Hey, hey.
No one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon.
And he'll
hit like an atom bomb when he comes.
Now don't you get worried, just bear in mind, trust in Jesus and you shall find peace and happiness, joy divine, with King Jesus on the line. God told Elijah to send down fire from the sky. He said he would, and I believe he will. God will fight your battle if you just keep still. You know that
everybody's worried,
hey, now,
about that atom bomb.
Hey,
no one worry about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon. And he'll
hey, 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 my Lord, you know
it's
him.
Like an atom bomb when he comes, when he comes.
You know now,
everybody's worried about that atom bomb.
Hey, now,
no one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order,
for
he may be coming soon. And he'll
hey, 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 my Lord, you know he'll
hit like an atom bomb when he comes, when he comes.
Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all its land. Around the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives. He called his Babylon paradise. On his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, the people feasted and drank their wine and praised the false gods of his time. All holy things they scorned and mocked, but suddenly all their mocking stopped. For on the wall there appeared a hand. Nothing else, there was no man. And but the hand began to write, and Belshazzar couldn't hide his fright. For he was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His kingdom was divided, couldn't stand. He was weighed in the balance and found wanting. His houses were built upon the sand. Well, no one around could understand what was written by the mystic hand. Belshazzar tried but couldn't find a man who could give him peace of mind. But Daniel the prophet, a man of God, he saw the writing on the wall in blood. Belshazzar asked him what it said, and Daniel turned to the wall and read, "My friend, you're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided, it can't stand. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your houses are built upon the sand."
Short message today. I have some obligations I have to complete for tomorrow morning. And quite frankly, I just see more of the same around. I haven't been led to, I've been doing some studying, which is related to some of the revelation experiences that I've had, including with some others in our group lately, privately. And I've continued on with that. And it's, honestly, it's call it due diligence that I needed to do along biblical lines to make sure that certain impressions that I was having, my basic biblical recollection is correct. And that my sense of my leanings was well-founded. Also, I spent a significant amount of time in prayer last night, one of my more intense times along those lines, I think. But I'll come back to that in a minute. I don't have too much to say. By the way, hi to Faith in chat. Hi, Faith. I don't have any. I don't have any updates today at all from Mama Pat. And but we know it's a serious situation there. And anyway, as I said, I have. I have some obligations I need to set some time aside for, and I have a deadline of tomorrow morning. So I'm going to get pretty much straight to the point. One point here is I do have a scripture. I want to clarify, when the Lord leads me to a scripture, sometimes He'll just give me a phrase. Sometimes it's a phrase that He wants me to search that will lead me to a scripture. Sometimes He'll give me a scripture, not by quoting it, but by just giving me, like, for example, the one I put on the title page of the show tonight is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10. When He does that, I usually, actually, probably, I'm not sure I ever absolutely know which verse is going to come up, but in most cases, He gives me that, I go and find it, and then I see the verse, and I have to make sure that He wants me to quote it versus get a message out of it. But usually He wants me to quote it, and that's what I put in the title page of the show. And when He gives that to me, I don't know. In this case, for example, I did not know what the verse is going to be. Same as 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I really don't have any more to say about it other than to make that clear. I do have a few sort of lines of inquiry going, not really Garage Works style, but I'm just not, you know, what I'm seeing, I got a message from one of our members at large, if you will, this afternoon that was very similar to a place where I'm at. I am pretty emotionally spent, it's an understated way to put it. He was expressing the same kind of thing to me. And it's interesting because this is sort of what I was brought to today, overnight, and I was really having trouble. I wish I could share more. There's more detail to this, but I think if I shared the details, it would just take attention away from the important point. So at least for me. And so really, He's got me to a particular place. And, you know, this happens from time to time. I do believe, let me remember what time it is. It is the 9th of March. We've completed the total solar eclipse, which had a particular significance for me as my entry point into our rapture-centric world here. Especially interacting with everyone else. I've been following it for a little while before He told me to go ahead and try to sign in. I've recounted that story a couple of times. And right now, the thing is, this day happens to be exactly 1 week ahead of the 16th of March, which is a very significant date set, which we've discussed for a couple of months now. And also 2 weeks, exactly, ahead of March 23rd, which is a very significant date set also that we've discussed for quite a while. And it also happens to be the 23rd. Wait, pause for a moment just to check my recollection. Because it's actually, if you look on a Gregorian calendar with the Jewish festivals, it will say it's the fast of Esther, it's on at Esther. But it is the beginning of Purim. And then through the 25th, you have Shushan Purim, which is all part of the same thing about Esther and Esther fasting and going before the king and the king granting her request and Haman being exposed as a traitor to the king's interests. And the eventual retribution, which was brought through Mordecai, which means little man, like Zacchaeus was. And and that eventually occurred on these days on the Jewish calendar, the 14th and 15th, which is the 24th and the 25th of March this year, of Purim. And in the location where Esther and Haman were, Shushan, the palace, the fortress, the city Shushan, that was a two-day event. And that's why they have Shushan Purim, and so on. So these days are dates of note on the calendar. One-week increments are highly significant for us because that's our understanding that we have an elopement scheduled just before the worldwide rapture. And we still anticipate that. And faith. That it reminds me, sorry to diverge, but faith, I don't know if you heard the show the other day, and I'm trying to remember. There's something I mentioned that I knew was related to something you mentioned. Oh, sycamore trees. You had mentioned the connection to sycamore trees, and you thought there was something in that, and I can't remember why that came up a week or so ago, maybe two, but I don't, you may not have heard my little teaching on that the other day. Oh, she says, yes, I listened. Okay, so yeah, Mordecai, little man, is connected to Zacchaeus, the little man who sat up in a tree that Jesus specifically called out by name and asked him to come down from the tree and to dine at his house. And the name Zacchaeus was a little man, and but his name means pure. And so there's a connection between Esther and Mordecai and Zacchaeus and purity and Jesus calling him down at you can read the rest. But the thing that made me think of faith in this regard was because she had mentioned a time ago about Zacchaeus being in a sycamore tree. And in the Middle East, it's a sycamore fig. It's not the same as what we would call a sycamore in North America. But it's a sycamore fig. And it is a type of fig tree that does produce figs. And, of course, those are representative of Israel. And so Jesus, and, you know, maybe even, there's more to that symbolism, but Jesus called the man, the little man, who was pure, out of the tree so that he could dine with him that evening. There's definitely prophetic rapture imagery there. And the fact that Mordecai also was involved with the queen and named Hadassah. Hadassah means myrtle. Myrtle's another kind of tree. And a myrtle tree will regrow branches out of a stump, which is one of the few trees that will do that if it's cut down. Okay, that was not my point tonight, but I just wanted to mention that. And so my point, and really the only thing I have for this evening is last night that I can share. Last night I had I mentioned yesterday on the show that the Lord had sort of surprisingly in the afternoon taken me to a place of a lot of emotional baggage. You know, he literally dropped a bunch of junk in front of my face that I had not really been focusing on. I knew that it was a spiritual dump, if you will, in front of me to draw me into this place. And I was not done with that. That continued last night. And in the wee hours of the morning, my time, I was still engaging God with this in prayer. Really, you know, a lot of times I don't feel the need to become, how can I say, overly demonstrative in prayer. I just ask. Usually I trust that he's guiding me before I ask. Most of the time when I ask directly, he just tells me that my perception is correct. But last night, not only because of the things I mentioned on the show, but also, poor Faith, she's trying to reply because I'm sure she has something good to say. And she is rebooting, I mean, she's recycled. She says, Jerry, Blog Talk issues and typing is slow and freezing out, so I'm trying to reply. Cool, Faith, thanks. If that fails, send me an email because I will not be surprised if you have something to add on that topic of Mordecai and Esther and Zacchaeus and the fig tree, which is a sycamore fig that Zacchaeus was in, and so on. Then later on, I was doing some studies, and I'll just say personal study because it really, it's just something that I've been trying to, the last several days, work on, reminding myself that my perception of certain things biblically was correct, and for the most part, I believe it was correct, and I didn't find anything that contradicted what I was thinking. But I did see a couple little details, and once again, sorry to not be being more specific, but this is an issue that is sort of circulated around me personally, and I just, like I said, I think it would be a distraction to really be more specific, because I think I want to share the point that I do have. And even that is a personal point, but apparently it's my testimony. So, so I was really spending some time with him last night, and really almost without an option. Going back and forth and trying to sort of examine my spiritual condition. I wanted to be sure. I was seeing types of things in the scriptures that I was looking at that relate to the kings of Israel. And I really just saw some little things there. And I think a lot of times, whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, when we're heartfelt believers, when we see things, we check ourselves. We keep ourselves in check. We check with God about, what does that really mean? Why is it written the way it is? And we also want to make sure that we haven't committed a transgression, having been led to that area of Scripture. And it's kind of where I was. And as I went through some things, and tried to talk to him about it, created a very significant awareness in me, and this is really the entirety of my message this evening, as far as I know. And that is, he brought me to a place where I realized, in short, that it is really true that in my heart, and of course he knows us better than we know ourselves, but he got me to a place where I knew without a doubt 100% that in my heart all I have ever wanted to do was do what he wanted me to do. Stay within his will, to trust him for his favor and provision and whatever else he had for me. And I've always hoped that was true. I've always thought it was generally true. I've always known that, in my human condition, that probably, I have varied from that to some degree, one time or the next. But in meeting him last night and trying to find a way to express myself and to receive his direction, I came to the absolute 100% certainty, without any doubt whatsoever, that in my heart, I have always, without exception, in the end, wanted to do what he wanted me to do. But I never wanted to vary from his will. And in our human condition, the thing that can catch us out so often is what we desire ourselves. And sometimes God's desires for us are the same as our own desires. But a lot of the time, I think we have trouble. You know, it's not easy to be completely sure that, oh, well, this is what I want. I think it's what God wants, and all the other different possibilities. But without a doubt, in trying to express myself to him appropriately, humbly, and accurately, this is the realization that he brought me to. So I just say it again. I have 100%, with no doubt whatsoever, certainty that I have always wanted to do what he wanted me to do. And that is true to this day. Why is that important now? Well, I don't know. I have a couple ideas, and I hope for all of us things pan out sooner rather than later. But the other reason is that it matters is because I'm just emotionally spent. It is a very challenging line to walk when you're being pulled in multiple directions and sometimes opposite directions from one day to the next. And you always want to do as he guides you. I'll tell you, quite frankly, he's been part of the conflicting message. He has tested me. He's allowed me to be tested, whatever phrase you want to use that makes you comfortable with your religious perspective. But he has allowed me to be tested. And it hasn't really been a lot of fun. Even though there's been abundant blessings within it, tremendous certainty of his presence, caring presence in all of it. And you know, I am to the point where I'm pretty much emotionally spent. I'm done with it. And the reason it's important to me personally is because I sense my weakness. And I don't want to fail in being faithful to him or his leading or his desires. And so, you want to call it fear of the Lord? Yeah. I just know I'm tired and I'm spent. And he's been a very important factor in bringing me to that point. Much more so. It's much more spiritually involved thing than a human condition, honestly. The truth is, my spiritual walk has been harder than my physical walk. We all have conditions in our lives and things, but the different ways that he's pulled me, allowed me to be pushed and pulled, the emotional swings that he's drawn me through, and I mean literally he has drawn me through. And I'm saying to him, hey, you know, I really don't know how much more of this I can do. I'm very concerned about it. I need a break. I can't was just nothing left in me to continue to be swung around on a string like this. And that led, among other things, in a way, trying to address that. It led to the absolute certainty, the complete 100% certainty that there has really never been a time within my consciousness that I wanted to do anything other than to please him, his desire for me, and his desire for how he wanted me to interact with others. And so... I guess I'm thankful for that. And it's a testimony for today. And what that means for tomorrow, I don't know. But without a doubt, he knows, which he's always known. But now I know. I know with no doubt whatsoever, with no lack of clarity at all, not even a fraction of 1% lack of clarity. I know completely that I have always wanted 100% to stay with it as well in my heart. And to not devise my own solutions, to not ask for things that are outside of his will or his plan. And I will offer one biblical perspective to illustrate why I feel like this is important. If you go through Scripture, in particular the Old Testament, but it's true in the New Testament, it's true everywhere biblically, people petition God. Good kings, bad kings, good prophets, bad prophets, evil people, and secular people petition God. And honestly, sometimes it's surprising whose prayers God hears, acknowledges, and responds to in the affirmative, agreeing with those people in prayer. But it has been my observation that regardless of whether it was a good king or a bad king or a mixed king, you know, some of each, or who the person was, that when men petition God, even if God grants their request, a lot of times, because those requests came from the desires of men, they don't always work out real well. And at the very least, there's often a mixed blessing involved. And that's why it's always been within my time period of biblical understanding. What I mean is, you know, since the time that I've come to understand things in a biblical perspective. But it's one of the things, one of the undercurrents of all biblical teaching is, a lot of times, even when God grants man's desires, man doesn't try to meet God where he's at on that subject. It can lead to undesirable results. So that's what was in my mind when I was trying to discuss with him all these things, in particular last night, you know, every day, really. But last night was a particular event for me, and I gather that that's where he wanted to get me to. complete 100% certainty that this is what I've always wanted to do, is not only to be in agreement with him, but to stay with his will. Because he will come in agreement with you sometimes outside of his will. And obviously, it's better to stay inside his will than outside of it, whether you agree or in agreement or not. So that was sort of my moment. That's my testimony. I know it completely without any doubt whatsoever. And because that seems to be a significant thing, I trust that that's where he wants me to be aware of. What does that mean looking forward? I don't know. I had the opportunity to speak with Judy just a little while ago. And she was running an errand. And I was telling her about this, basically being emotionally spent, but also knowing absolutely this is the moment, the certainty that he led me to last time. And she had a return to make, I think. She went into Walmart, and, you know, we all understand, I think those of us here understand, the above, below, black and white, upside down, right side up, that this world is in a, not a permanent condition, by the way, but a long-standing condition of corruption where this mirror reflection phenomenon is endemic and entirely in keeping with the fall of mankind from the Garden of Eden. It's a very challenging thing, and I believe we're seeing it manifest increasingly, even on a daily basis, the things that are not right in this world. So Judy goes into Walmart, I guess, to the return desk, I don't know, and she just says, "Wow, the Lord just showed me something." Now, we have this knowledge. Jonathan Cleck talks about it. It's his gift. It's his a centerpiece of his revelation and gift from God. All these things. But I don't think, and even for him, it's still grounded, you know, in a godly perspective and not fear and so on. And anyway, so the Lord said to her, she goes up to the desk and she did whatever she had to do, and the Walmart employee turned to go do something, and she said, the Lord told her in that moment, look, and gave her a knowing, an understanding, and he showed it to her, and he said, said, look, and what he's saying was, look at the back of the shirt of the employee, which has the Walmart symbol on it. She said, I'd never noticed that before, because we think of the title Walmart, and other people have mentioned this, I know they have. But the point is that in the moment that I'm speaking this about my experience to Judy is when the Lord tells Judy to look at the back of this Walmart employee's shirt. And it shows, obviously, the name Walmart, but it's also their logo. And it's like their logo is a very simple sunburst-type pattern, which has six yellow rays radially going out. And she said, I wonder why he showed that to me. She said, it was like it's really prophetic, but he doesn't usually do that. He had me specifically look at this and notice. She said, Jerry, there's six of those. It's like six, like, you know, 666 or, you know, mankind. It's, you know, evil. And I said, yeah. And I said, also, there's three above and three below. She said, yeah. And I've heard other people mention that if you play around with the name of Walmart, if you, you know, Mark can be the first portion of the word martial law. And, of course, law is law backwards. The other thing that's interesting, if you take the entire name of Walmart and flip it backwards, it becomes tram law. And a tram is a cart that goes through a tunnel. And I mentioned to Judy, I said, yeah, I'm taking you as an encouragement to me. He's using you and sending me a message that this is not far from now, which means our time to go is near. And and she totally felt it. And I mentioned to her something that's been discussed elsewhere, is that when the Jade Helm thing came out, one of the things that made it became public or discussed in the public was that the Walmart procurement system, their whole shipping and receiving logistics system, the entire software, the entire electronics that run the entire thing and connect with every location of Walmart in the world, that logistics operating, ordering, and receiving system is integrated into the federal government and the military government database so that, and it's the only one in the world that we're given to understand has this capability. I do believe there's one or two other large store chains where this is true, but I don't have the proof of it. But Walmart, obviously, by definition, is the biggest. And it allows you through a back door. I mean, it doesn't allow us because we don't have the back door. We don't have the code access to this portion of the system. However, all of the code is written and integrated. So you could actually go into a Walmart store, log on to their shipping and receiving computers, and order, procure, if you will, any type of material that the U.S. government handles and transfers, whether it's military material, weaponry, or other things. It's a weird kind of a thing, but somehow they've got it integrated in stores. So that's anecdotal. But what I'm telling you is I'm talking to Judy about my experience last night. He says to her, look, and shows her the Walmart symbol, and she immediately recognizes symbol 6, and of course, the other potential references to martial law and underground this and that, and so on and so forth. The point is, I think he gave that to her as a message to me. I don't know if she'll have more to say about that at some point or not, but she's, as you know, regular life stuff. As I will be, on and off, or mostly on. But that is what I had for today. I don't know whether that will be found to be that meaningful for others. I just know that it is for me. That is, but I do believe it is meaningful. It's certainly meaningful for me, and that the kinds of things that he's leading me through personally, they're so big, you know, and honestly, they're not grandiose, they're just big, but they're not really for me to say, and I wouldn't know what to do with it if I were trying to say it, because, as I say, I mean, it's for each of us, it's a daily walk where we try to do what he wants us to do, and we trust him to be with us, and we handle each day as best we can. But he's with us, and we'll see what he comes up with next. I do believe we are very much in an interesting time. I still believe this month we're going to see very powerful things within our group or the world or both. I cannot tell you for sure what they are. I hope he's going to answer our long-held expectations of departure and relief from this world. I know a lot of us, because we are separated in our desires from worldly things, are finding less and less satisfaction in just trying to go through the daily grind because, you know, we just don't care about this stuff. I am encouraged that I am seeing increasingly now people are still credible, respected in the system. People are starting to openly discuss the criminal nature of our federal government and the governments of the world as a whole. And that is very heartening to me because that means God is beginning to wake people up. You know, I had an imaginary conversation in my head today. It's because this discussion of politics is so pervasive at the moment. Of what I might say to somebody, there was a particular moment that actually goes back for months that was brought to my mind. And it goes back to, I don't know, last fall. I don't know when. I was on my daughter's college campus, and in the dorm, they were doing voter registration sign-ups. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much a joke. And what I was trying to figure out is how to describe my perspective to somebody who's invested in what we're supposed to believe about this process, that it's real, that it's legitimate, you know, that he who gets the most votes wins and that kind of thing, that it's rule abiding, that kind of thing, which, you know, people in both parties are beginning to find out that that is not the case. And if it's not the case now, in many respects, it hasn't been the case for a long time. And how is it that I would try to explain to somebody my relatively unique perspective on politics at this time? And this is what came to my mind. If I were to explain that I'm not so interested in all the politics, somebody who is engaged mentally in that discussion, I think I might say something on the lines of like, well, and by the way, this is not characterizing anybody who is a current candidate, but I might say something on the lines of, well, if Al Capone is running for president, who do you think is going to win? So that it's just the way I had in the moment to express myself. Okay, so I see Tana has called in. She's on the line. I'm going to say hi to Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hi.
There you are.
How are you?
I am worn out.
Yeah. Me too.
And emotionally, someday that that link you sent out last night.
Uh-huh.
Someday we'll be able to talk about how poignant a moment that was for me, but not now.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a great song. I'm waiting for my superhero Jesus. He's my Superman to come sweep me off my feet into heaven. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I was yellow goo today. So I was blue fur yesterday and yellow goo today. So it's very, to me, I think, prophetic. Blue fur, yellow goo.
I love it.
Last night.
Yep, I love it. Something's got to happen. It's you know, I got a text from somebody we know, one of the younger guys this evening, and he expressed himself in a very similar way to a combination of experiences that people I know are having and that I myself are having, basically emotional exhaustion. And I was having, last night, I was still up because I was really spending some intense time with God. And I was about ready to be done. And I said, am I done? He said, no, you're not. I'm like, no, okay. So I kind of sucked it up because I was really in no mood to do anymore. And within 30 seconds, I received that text he sent with that video link. And I can't explain how meaningful it is now. It would be just, but anyway, it was fully integrated into my experience. Let's put it that way. And I totally sympathetic with the sentiment too. Get us out of here. Get us out of here. And earlier, Tana, I was basically saying the only thing I have to really say tonight was that in the process of what I was experiencing yesterday and last night, he brought me to a place where I know 100% without any doubt that I have always wanted 100% to do what he wanted me to do. And even though we all have our human variations from moment to moment. And, you know, I don't want to devise my solution for the circumstances right now. I want him. I just want his plan, and I want to be completely fine with his plan. Last night, he got me to a place where I knew 100% that's where what I always wanted to be and do in my heart. And I, you know, I don't know what that means, but it is a string. It's just one more thing in a string of very weighty experiences that I've had over the last month or two. And so we'll just see what he does with it. And hopefully it is our last night and poof and disappear of night. Or the 16th, or the 23rd, or some other.
Yeah. You know, because Fasted Purim, what it represents or whatever, is like 3 days, you know, it's like, I guess it's free to represent 3 days while they wait for their king. Or they prepare, not wait for, they prepare for their king. The 3 day fast is prep for their king. So, like, Purim is, you know, March 20th. Or the fast of Purim is March 23rd, it says, and then the 24th is actually Purim. But I thought that was interesting. The 3 days. I mean, we should be gone before then, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, I was thinking, like, from now, I think accounting from now, it's like 14 days to actually Purim. Or is it 7 days? So I was thinking, like, if we poof tonight.
14 days to Purim, yeah.
If we poof tonight, that's 14 days, you know, where the rapture would be 14 days later, which would be Purim, where the rapture bride gets taken. So the Lobster bride, I say, gets taken today, the first call. or by 7 days after today. You know? Sounds good?
Yeah.
It's just me thinking. It's not the say of the Lord. It's just me thinking, but...
Right, yeah. Well, I'm about out of thinking. I am exhausted. And also, I had a schedule tonight. I really had a deadline on something that I've got to work on. And so I kind of want to send us out of here right now.
Absolutely.
And I hope you're well. I have not heard any more from Pat, so I don't really have any updates there. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering, if anyone heard from her since the other day.
I have not. What I know was that there were going to be a lot of family involved, friends and family involved today. And so I'm sure she has her hands full communicating-wise and with the obvious serious nature of the things going on. So I don't know. I'm sure she'll get in touch with me when she gets a chance. I just hope she, I want her to have a manageable time.
Yeah. I pray it's all going well.
Yeah, I think she's prepared for it. I think it's going to be, we'll see how things go. But
news is good news. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Maybe. If things take a turn for the better, it's going to be a miracle. I can tell you that much. I pretty much know that. It's going to be God working if things take a turn for the better, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and he's a miracle man. He can do anything. And like I said, if he performs that miracle, he needs to remove everything that's wrong. If he performs that miracle, every single thing, so Mama can have a peaceful life until we poof at her house with her children.
There's a lot going on there. There's no doubt about that. She's got quite the menagerie of people and pets that she oversees in that household of hers. Okay, so I need to send us out. Thank you, Tana, for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
You're welcome.
Loving the
I love you,
blue
Jesus.
Fur.
Love you all.
Go ahead.
ITA.
Loving Jesus, we do. ITA. ITA. I'll see how it goes. Anyway. Love
I'll
you
see
all.
Tonight.
Love see you. Tonight.
The skies don't seem to be as dark as usual. The stars seem brighter than they've been before. Deep within, I feel my soul is stirring, as though my hope has been restored. The shepherds say they've heard the voice of angels, confirming rumors spread across the land, that a child protected well from Herod's anger is our Father's Son and the Son of Man. Love is raining down on the world tonight. There's a presence here I can tell. God is in us. God is for us. God is with us. Emmanuel. He's the Savior we have been praying for. In our humble God is in us, God is for us, God is with us, Emmanuel. I feel compelled to tell all who live now, the peace on earth is not so out of reach. If we can find grace and mercy, I can tell.
can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains beneath feet, the same power that can call a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. Great.